do you know the thing about Chewbacca in the expanded universe where he gets killed because a moon falls on him?
Oh, yes, I actually did know that.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 2015 Headbangers Baller Time. Wow! Yeah, with me is Ian Saunders. That's me. That's me. I'm Ian. I'm here with you tonight. And with my friend, his name Matt. Matt, are you there, Matt?
Yes, I'm scared.
All right, Matt is here. Here's Tyler. Are you there, Tyler?
I want to go home. Stop yelling.
Let's get this show going.
All right. Okay, we're here. So, hold on. You sound like your top 10 needs work.
That's an understatement, but it is a statement nonetheless.
Okay, so you should go last.
Okay, I'm going to go last. And I'm going to feed off of everyone else, but we all know what number one album of the year is.
Oh, yeah, I mean, obviously. That's why we're keeping you for last.
Okay, excellent. Good, good. I'm glad to hear it. All right, let's go.
Okay, so basically, after that amazing intro, we're each going to go through our personal top tens. I might throw in some ancillary dumb awards just because I feel like it. Or we might do that at the end. Yeah. Who knows?
There will be arguments, I'm sure, in some form or fashion.
We will be telling each other how wrong we are mm-hmm. about our respective lists.
Yep.
So Tyler, do you want to go or do you want me to go?
I guess I'll go first.
Go for it.
Well, first, are we going straight into top 10 or do you want to do somewhere ancillary awards?
I want to know, what's everybody drinking tonight? What is our drink choice this evening, everyone?
I have good old H2O.
H2O?
I have zero drink. I should probably get one.
That's a bold choice.
That needs to be rectified, I think, pretty quickly. I'm drinking Blue Hawaiian. I'm really getting this metal show off to a start here.
Nothing says metal like Blue Hawaiian.
Please tell the good people what is in a Blue Hawaiian.
It is rum, I think, Blue Curacao. I bought it in a bag that has a little knob on it that I just kind of pour into.
Bagged
this
cocktails. Best.
I went
only the classiest stuff.
Yeah.
So I believe it's pronounced Curacao.
Is it I thought it was Curacao.
It's like the island of Curacao.
I guess I think of Curacao, like Caracas.
Kahlua?
Kahlua? I don't know. Kahlua is good. I had a White Russian the other day.
I like White Russian.
I put way too much Russian in that White Russian.
I mean, that would be too much vodka. Not necessarily too much Kahlua. Oh, it sounds like there's too much Russian in that Blue Hawaiian.
Well, my nose tasted that Blue Hawaiian.
Those bagged cocktails get you every time.
I feel like I'm doing a line of cocaine over here. All right. So anyway, that's what we're all drinking, I guess. Tyler, what do you got for us, dude?
Let me show you.
Yes, in this audio podcast.
Because the one guy who doesn't have a webcam. All right. I'm just going to run through a couple of my honorable mentions before I go into my list. First one I have here is The Killer Instinct by Black Star Riders. If you don't know, Black Star Riders are essentially the rebranded version of Thin Lizzy, minus Phil Anat, obviously, because he's sadly no longer with us. But it's basically a new Thin Lizzy album. So if you like Thin Lizzy, you'll probably like this one. There definitely is a lot of trademark Lizzy on it. The only reason why it didn't quite make my list is because I thought the first half of the album was really solid, but then the other half kind of fell into the filler trap. So still give it a listen if you're into that kind of stuff.
Attention, Dan Reichert. He seems like he would be into that.
Yes, my fellow Thin Lizzy fan, Dan Reichert. All right, number two is Joel Hoekstra's 13, Dying to Live. And the main reason I put this on here is because that is the most 80s rock album I've ever heard in the 2000s.
Yes, I listened to that album as well, and I totally agree.
In whatever this decade is called. It has Russell Allen on it, who you kind of can't do it wrong there unless you're in Joel Mom. But he does a great job. They also have Jeff Scott Soto. He does a good job, too. They're both singing TSO.
And just to clarify, Joel Hoekstra?
Yeah, he plays in TSO also.
Is that his last name? Is that how you pronounce that?
Like Hoekstra.
Hoekstra. He's also the, as of last year, I think, in Whitesnake.
Yeah, I think he recently joined Whitesnake as well.
Yeah.
So Whitesnake is still doing their thing, right? They're still going strong. Good. I'm glad to hear that. I really am. What a good. Actually, you know what? I guess I kind of forgot that they
are, or they did have a concert come through San Antonio recently. That's why it sounds familiar. I should have gone.
I saw them open for Judas Priest the first time I saw them, and they actually were very good.
Wow. See, I've never seen Judas Priest. There's a lot of bands I've never seen that I really wish I would have, or could still when they get a chance, I guess.
I wanted to see Judas Priest when they toured with Mastodon, but I couldn't get anyone to go with me, sadly.
That was Extra Life Day, so I was not available.
Oh,
that's all right. I forgive you. All right. Anyway, moving along, we got Blind Guardian, Beyond the Red Mirror, which was on my list at one point, but then got knocked off by some new contenders. I don't want to say this album is necessarily disappointing. It's just kind of like, okay, which, you know, I love Blind Guardian, so just saying it's okay, it's kind of...
It
was disappointing in itself.
You know, they said this was their strongest album that they've done in
that
years.
That is a lie.
I kind of like the last one.
That's what they said. And I like the last... That's exactly what I'm going to say. I love their last album. Yeah, this one wasn't as... There was something missing, I felt.
It almost felt like they were going through the motions at times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
it still had some really good songs on it.
It's a bit of an unpopular opinion, but I also really like, at least amongst the quote-unquote Blind Guardian fandom, but I also really like A Twist in the Myth a whole lot.
I like that one too. That one has a little more filler on it for my taste. But I like that one a lot too. Yeah, but the new album, it has a couple really good songs on it, mostly Twilight of the Gods. Like, that was a really good
song. That was the single as well.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it for that. Next one is Gentle Storm, The Diary by one Argen Lucassen, and featuring Annika van Gernsbergen, the most Dutch name I've ever heard in my life.
Did I ever tell you the story? Let me tell you a story about that album.
Okay.
Please tell me a tale.
So that album came out and I was like all hyped. Matt sent me a message, dude, it's available, something like that. And I'm like, oh shit. So I go in the store. All right. And I'm looking. I'm like, okay, well, there's the CDs. Okay, here's the LPs. Okay.
Oh, this story.
There we go. Okay. I see them. And I'm like, man, that's expensive, dude. Like, that's like, what are they, 120 euros or something. Like, I'm like, oh, gee, this is a pricey one. I'm like, all right, well, I guess let's just do this. And I'm going down the list. And I'm like, I want to get it fast because I want to get the signed version. I want to make sure I get the limited edition one. And I do it and I purchase it. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then I'm like, wait a second. I really didn't want the t-shirt or the poster, but I guess I got it anyway. And I went back. And if I would have scrolled down just a little bit further, just the record signed, no poster, no t-shirt, like 80 euros or something. Because
you sent me like, oh, this is the one I got. And I'm like, dude, there's this other one.
Yeah.
Like,
and I was so bummed. But
did it already ship? Was it too late to cancel it?
It was at the point where I didn't want to cancel because I didn't want to fear of not getting the one signed or something. So I just kind of went with it. I thought, we'll see. Why not? But I got a cool shirt that doesn't fit me because European sizes are not American sizes by any stretch of the imagination.
Europeans tend to not be as large as us Americans.
Yes. Us Samaricans. To the Samaricans.
Samaricans, as you lift your alcoholic beverage to the sky in praise.
I have a bag pina colada next. So this is
what's with the bagged cocktails?
Where are you buying these? From some dude on the street?
So it was easier than mixing it myself. And I thought, why not? I'll have both bags. I'll have a box of wine in the fridge in case anybody comes over and wants
extra classy. Really, the bagged cocktails and the box of wine.
Exactly. And I'll keep all the good stuff for myself.
Impress the ladies with your bagged cocktails and box wine.
You know, I looked at it as I was going through a $30 bottle of rum every 2 days.
That's a lot of rum.
That is a lot of rum.
This was a cheaper habit because it's so sweet. I can't just chug it like I could the rum. So
that's a lot of rum.
Anyway, sorry. I digress into a crazy story.
That's like you go to a meeting every week level of rum.
That's like I'm spinning up the drink machine every week. Dave Lang type of.
Spinning up the drink machine every day.
Except you're spinning up for yourself.
Yes. Oh, I'm a good cocktail.
Wait. No one else. Just you.
Yeah. Okay.
Continue. Anyway. Continue.
Yes, please.
Okay, anyway, this album is an Argen album, so, I mean, if you like Argen, you'll probably like this one. It's not quite as progressive, it's a little more straightforward than his other stuff. It's very vocal-focused, I would say, because the singer on it, she has a very, I don't know how to describe it, but she has a very distinct voice, so she's definitely the showcase there, and I guess if you don't know, there's really two. It's basically a double album, but it's all the same songs, but they have like the more acoustic stripped down versions, and they also have the more like band, like drum and guitar versions. And both versions are very good. I think I tend to prefer the one that's the Storm version with the instruments, with the guitar and drums and everything.
I disagree, but whatever. They're both good.
Yeah, so that's a good one. The other one I have is Matt. Is it Marchardin?
Marchardin, yes.
Marchardin, Cult of Silence.
Mm-hmm.
Which is it's kind of a death metal album, but also has a little progressive edge to it. Some interesting riffs in there as well. It's kind of, I don't know. This is like one of those albums where I like, but I can't really describe why I like it as much.
That's fair.
And then the final one I have here is from a dude. His name is, he goes by Little V Mills, and he's actually he mostly does YouTube covers of video game songs, metal covers. And he put out an album on his own. It's called Side Quest, which is all original stuff. It's mostly instrumental. I think he sings on like one song, but it's straight up metal album. So if you look, I'll maybe like link to one of his songs or something, but if you like his style of playing, you'll enjoy that. All right. So then let's get into the main list here.
Yes. So, that way we can really tell you how wrong you are.
Dig down deep in your soul.
This is honestly like making the list wasn't that hard. It was ordering. It was a nightmare for me because I was like, do I really like this album more than this one? Is this album not as good as this one? But anyway, let's dive headfirst into this.
Let's jump in, shall we?
Yes. All right. So number 10 is Iron Maiden, The Book of Souls, which, first of all,
I feel like that's only on your top 10 because it was a Maiden album and you had to have it in there.
Let me explain. Iron Maiden is my favorite band, period.
Okay.
And they've been pretty divisive over the past, say, like 15 years, mostly because they've been a lot more progressive with their albums. And some people either really like it, some people don't like it at all. I tend to like most of their more progressive stuff. I still prefer the classic sound, the more straightforward, in-your-face style. And they definitely have
the new album style, if you will.
Yes, the new album. They definitely still have songs like that, and this album has them as well. But for me, this was the album for me where I listened to, because they have a lot of long, this is, I think, the longest album, it's like an hour and a half, and they have some pretty long songs on there. And this was the one where I was like, because before the longer songs, like, okay, I can see why these songs would be the way they are. But this is the one where I was like, okay, you really could have stripped a lot of the fat on these songs. Like, it felt a little repetitive at times with a lot of the songs.
I tend to agree, both the individual songs and the album as a whole. Like, that album doesn't need to be an hour and a half.
No, I agree. I mean, it's having a double album, but only because you can't physically fit that much music on one disc.
It is almost like a Use Your Illusion situation.
Yeah. Well, that was more like they made two albums, but they put a bunch of filler in it. But yeah, the songs that are on there that I do like, I do really like. I prefer Maiden Lean and Mean, so I like stuff like Speed of Light, Death or Glory, songs like that. And even the longer songs I like as well, but again, I wish they kind of...
I took
a step back a bit.
I really like The Red and the Black. I think that is the best thing they've done in a long time.
That was a really good one. But also, again, it kind of repeats itself a little too much in some spots.
Yeah. It is 13 and a half minutes long.
Yeah. All right, so... Oh, well, one more quick thing. I'm gonna cram in a little ancillary award here.
Okay.
For laziest album cover.
Okay, yep. Yep.
This is Iron Maiden we're talking about here. They are known for having some of the most iconic metal covers. And when you look at that album cover, if you don't know, it's basically just a black background and just Eddie's upper body with kind of tribal war paint, which that part looks cool and all, but really, you couldn't put anything in the background.
I have a question.
Yes.
With the background, I have a question. The question is, how much more black could it be? The answer is none. None more black.
I disagree. You could make it more black.
It's like space without the stars.
Exactly. No, but like the worst part is, you know, I bought the CD because I'm a crazy person. And I looked inside the booklet, and they have like all these different like art pieces in it, kind of showing Eddie doing whatever. And I'm looking through it, and it's like any of these would have made a better album cover than the one we got.
There's not even a book for the Book of Souls on the cover.
Exactly. I know. What are you doing, really? Like, it felt so slapped together. But anyway, I digress. If we want to talk about an actual kind of cool album cover, look at that transition. Number 9 I have is Nightwish and Endless Forms Most Beautiful.
That cover has a lot going on.
Yeah, it does. This is the first metal, or not, it's the first Nightwish album with Flori Jansson, and I think she does a great job on it.
I agree sometimes. I think her work on it is good. I just don't feel that they utilize all of her strengths. Like, she doesn't, there is no point where they sort of took the reins off and just let her do her thing completely. Yeah.
Well, I think I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was going to say, I think it was, you know, since you're so new to the group, maybe they didn't want to detour too much from what they're, you know, if it was Tajar or Tara, I mean, Tarja, I mean, it was with the band forever. I mean, you know, it's kind of like had free reign, you know, to do what she wanted to do. Hopefully, if they stick with this lead singer for a while, she'll be the same way, you know, have be able to have some creative licenses.
Well, lucky for you, Ian, when you head out here, live performances are a much different story.
Oh, are they?
Yes. We saw them back in, was it April, I believe.
Right.
And she just sort of went off. It was a good time.
Yeah, actually, I was reading that. I think she didn't have any writing contributions on the album.
And she did not. That is correct.
So I think that might have something to do with it. But I mean, the album itself, I think there were some really good songs on there. They, you know, it's not quite as grandiose, I would say, as some of their other albums. But I like the fact that it is a little more, there's a little more of a punch to it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and I also really like The Greatest Show on Earth. I thought that was really cool.
That song's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Talking about long songs, that's a song that actually deserves its length, I would say.
Except for maybe the outro.
Yeah, well, it's just a long narration by Richard Dawkins.
Yeah.
But that was still interesting. All right, moving on. Number 8. This was a late contender here. It is Tara May's Her Halo.
Oh, yes. I was talking about the album on Twitter a whole lot over the past couple weeks.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting about that. I was like, I should probably check this album out because it has a cool cover and it sounds interesting. And I listened to it, and it's not quite like power metal. But it kind of has some
it's
of that
like it's kind
of
like power prog almost, in like the same way. I on Twitter I compared it to Dream Theater at times.
Yeah, it did have a bit of a Dream Theater sound to it. I really like the opening track.
Mm-hmm.
It has a weird name. I forget what it's called.
An Ordinary Dream and La Memento. I have it pulled up here.
Yeah, because that has sort of like your power metal style chorus, but with progressive riffs to it. Which is what I really liked about it. And the singer is also, I think he does a very good job on it. The only thing I don't like about it is, what's that? There's one song, it's called the ballad. I thought that was a really weak ballad, to be honest.
Broken?
Yeah.
Because
that sounded like, it almost sounded like a boy band ballad.
They do something interesting with that where they introduce the chorus very early in the song with sort of that, the way you described it, boy band, sort of acoustic guitar. And then they try and build on it by adding, you know, your distorted metal guitar and everything onto it. And it sounds all right, but I agree. It's not up to the caliber of the rest of the album.
Yeah, I feel like the problem is if that was just like the intro, it would have been fine, but they kind of like go back to it.
Mm.
So that kind of, I think, kind of detracts from it a bit. So that's pretty much all I have for that one. Number 7 is an album I'm actually listening to at this very moment. Between the Buried and Me, Como Ecliptic.
It's a good album. I approve this pick.
Between the Buried and Me is one of those bands I always knew about, but never really checked out just because I always heard good things. So I decided to check this album out, and I liked it a lot. It's almost one of those bands that people who might not necessarily be metal fans, I can see kind of enjoying. Because if you look at like how those guys look, they kind of almost look like an alternative band.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see them almost appealing to that crowd a bit. And their music is, it's definitely metal, and they have the good old vocals and all that. But it is also very sort of progressive in that kind of alt-rock space, I would think.
Yeah, it's, this album, though, just as for comparison's sake, is like way more straightforward than a lot of their previous releases.
Yeah, it actually almost feels like, not in terms of like story or anything, but it almost kind of feels like a concept album in the way the songs kind of transition to each other.
I can see that. They sort of flow. They have a cohesive sound.
Yeah, it definitely feels more like an album instead of just a collection of songs.
Okay.
Also, it has pretty good synth work in a couple songs. I really enjoy that.
I haven't heard a lot of... I guess maybe I haven't been listening to the right stuff, but I've been... The one things I have been hearing, I've been hearing more synth lately in
albums. Yeah, man, synth is back.
Just in general?
In general, I'm really hoping it is.
We were watching Nausicaa last week, the week before, and we were way into that 80s synth soundtrack in that film.
Mm.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that, the soundtrack. We were both listening to it. Like, this is an 80s synth right here.
I mean, I finally watched Kung Fury the other day.
That's a film.
For the first time, and that is... I wanted more of that as soon as I got done seeing it.
David Hasselhoff.
He's a true survivor.
Okay.
All right, moving on. Number six is Scale the Summit. Is it 5 or V?
I actually don't know.
Let's just say V for argument's sake. This is a very good instrumental album. Almost out of the prog metal side.
It's close to like almost like Animals as Leaders without the gentiness.
Yeah. It definitely feels more guitar oriented in terms of like using scales and things like that. Whereas it's not quite soloing, but he is sort of going up and down the neck. With a lot of guitar playing there. And, you know, I'm a fan of instrumental albums because they're very good at, it might sound like a negative, but it's very good background music.
I feel the same way.
Kind of like you kind of just put it on the background and you can still enjoy it. Not that if you know, put your full attention to it, you can't still enjoy it, but it is nice to have an album where it's like you kind of just put it on and let it play.
Easy to get lost in.
Yeah, exactly. It is kind of has more atmospheric feel to it, with particularly the rhythm section. The bass and the drums are very tight together.
That amazing bass solo,
right?
Fort Cloud.
That's what I'm thinking of particularly. Okay, so then number 5 is Symphony X Underworld. This was an album that, listening the first time, kind of thought it was okay. But the more I listened to it, I actually really started to enjoy it. Their last album was one of my favorite albums the past couple of years, to be honest.
Iconoclast is a revelation of an album.
It is. You know, I wasn't expecting this album to be like quite as good because, you know, that's a tall order. And this album, it definitely doesn't quite reach that level. I still think it is a very solid album. It's not quite as ridiculous as the last album, which I think is both, it's good, but then also makes me kind of wish they went a little further out, especially with like the title track, Iconoclast, in the last album.
I have a confession to make about Underworld. It took me longer than I would like to admit to make the Dante's Inferno connections. All of the circles of hell on the cover and the lyrical themes and the fact that it's called Underworld.
We have a song called like The Hell and Back.
I know.
There's also
Kiss of Fire and Charon. I'm an idiot, is what I'm saying.
That's okay.
No.
It's funny because I've read The Inferno within the last year, and I still didn't make those connections.
If I have one minor complaint, I would say this might not be Russell Allen's best vocal performance, even like this year. There are times he almost kind of sounds like not disinterested, but he doesn't quite give it his all. But I think on the last album, he was like just going
ham,
pretty much. He still does a good job on it.
He's still Russell Allen.
Yeah, I mean, he could sing the Yellow Pages. I'd probably buy it.
Don't say that. Don't actually do that.
Russell Allen, give him any ideas. The Yellow Pages. That's pretty good. I like that. I approve of that.
This album, the recording of the vocals of this album led to one of the best tweets in a long time, which I'm not going to find. But it's something about the great guitar wizard bringing him magical scrolls to imprint his spells upon, which pretty much was just saying, hey, I'm laying down vocals for this album now.
That makes me happy. That sounds awesome.
Yes, we're referring to Michael Romeo as the great guitar wizard.
The hour is late, and the great guitar wizard delivers his musical scrolls upon which I must imprint my rhymes to complete his magic spells.
Yep, there you go. There it is.
That's great.
At Sir Russell Allen on Twitter. What are you doing over there, Ian? I can see you doing something.
I'm magic.
What do you, because the people, the good people at home could probably hear what sounds like duct tape being.
I'm opening things up and organizing some things right now.
You're doing some Noling?
Yes. Yeah, some I'm doing some Christopher Noling over okay. here.
That's pretty good. I like that one.
Anyway.
Do continue, my friend. Along that long, long journey, which you must go.
Number four. This is the longest journey. Number four. Churches, every eye open, or every open eye.
Churches?
Churches, yes, with the V, because they are true cult.
So that's how you know they're a true cult.
Yep. They have tuberculosis.
They dwell from the dark depths of Scotland. Yeah, this is like really the only non-metal album on my list. They are, as you call it, synth-pop band.
Yep.
And they also have sort of 80s elements to their music.
Well, I mean, but, synth-pop is very much an 80s genre.
Yeah. But it doesn't feel like a throwback, which is definitely good. It feels sort of modernized. And what I like a lot about it is that it is very upbeat and kind of not like in your face, but it has sort of that up-tempo-ness to it. But it also does feel sort of like you kind of chill out to it. Like it kind of has that mellow tone to it at times, which is what I want in my synth pop, more or less.
Yes. It's you can either sort of put it on and relax or blast it and sort of go crazy.
Yep.
Which may or may not be what I'm doing right now.
Blast it for all the neighbors.
Yep.
Okay, then number three is Elder Lore.
It's a good album.
It is a good album. This is, it almost kind of has a Mastodon sound to it, but more in the progressive area.
Sort of like Crack the Sky era Mastodon, if you were to pick a Mastodon.
I remember you sent me this earlier this year.
Yes, I have. Yes. I have the LP hanging on my wall here.
Yeah, yes, and
this is good.
The thing I like about this album is it almost kind of sounds like just like a jam band, but you can definitely tell like this is not just them jamming. Like there is definitely structure to their music.
Like that would be a genre where I want to see like a synth jam band where the song's going for like 20 minutes.
Wait, are we still talking about the same album?
Well,
no, I'm saying that's what I
just
want
to see. You know, just go see Fish and just bring like a guitar with you.
Dude, I love Fish.
I hate Fish so much.
I do. My dad grew up listening to Fish, and so I grew up listening to Fish. So I have an appreciation for Fish.
I don't think we can talk to you anymore.
I'm sorry. We can no longer be friends.
There's an event. I think it's actually like Woodstock in New York.
Oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. Wait. Hold on. Nope. That was Bucket of Fish, not Fish.
Those are very different things.
Okay. Forgive me.
Anyway. Is that even a band? Or you
yes.
Like, go
no, no, it is. It is a band.
Anyway, there's an event, let's say. I think it's actually at Woodstock in New York. Where it was Fish, they played 5 sets in 3 days. And someone that my mother works with, I think it was her and her husband, they went to all 5 sets. Like, that sounds like the worst nightmare.
I want to imagine that it was like 3 days consecutive. Like, they didn't stop playing.
They just somehow
they
like arbitrarily
72 hours straight.
Broke it up arbitrarily into 5 sets whenever they need to like go take a break to go smoke some weed.
Well, I mean, who needs drugs at that point, dude? After 48 hours, you're hallucinating already.
Yeah, their sets, sets are like 10 hours anyway, because they just, in the middle of a song, they just play whatever.
Yeah.
God, I hate Fish so much.
Anyway, what else can I say about this album? This is also one of those albums where it's like 5 songs, but the songs themselves are pretty long, but each song still feels like its own song. It doesn't feel like 5 songs jammed into one.
Yeah, the shortest song on the album is 9 minutes and 28 seconds.
Yeah, but they still feel complete like songs. Okay, and then number two is Amorphous Under the Red Cloud.
That is a very good album.
This album actually kind of reminds me of Winter Sun at times. Just sort of, not so much in like the fast.
Sounds cold.
Yeah, like it's the album I want to listen to while I'm in like the driving through like a snowstorm or something. Not that I want to be driving through a snowstorm.
That has happened to you before.
Wasn't it really a storm?
Well,
I mean, also PAX last year, I was driving through the snowstorm.
That's true. Yeah. Cool. The singer actually kind of reminded me of the singer from Bullbeat. I don't know.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, you can see that as well.
Yeah.
But also, it kind of sounds like he's more of a Viking.
Yes.
Viking Volbeat.
Yeah. Which sounds okay. Yeah, I really like the fact that it has like a dark sound to it, but not like black metal dark.
It's not like, or even like doom dark.
Yeah. It's almost like, I don't know what the word to describe it. It's almost like,
It's melancholy. Sort of, it's got a deep sound. I disagree. I don't think it's melancholy at all. I think they managed to pull off it having like sort of a deep, full sound without being melancholy.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Except for maybe like Sacrifice and Dark Path, but those are very melancholy song titles. So
yeah, it's true. So that album I really liked a lot. It actually kind of surprised me how much I liked it. That's why I made it to number two. But the album that surprised me the most made my number one spot. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready for this.
Sure.
My body's ready.
You're going to be so disappointed. I tell right now because you've been building up so much.
Katy Perry.
Yep. It is Space 1992, Rise of the Chaos. No.
Yes!
No, it's not that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to question your views there. It is Ghost Meloria.
Oh, okay. That's a good album.
Okay. That's your reaction.
It's a good album. I enjoy it. It surprised me as well because I was not a Ghost fan.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you told me like a year ago that my favorite album this year would be a Ghost album, I'd probably say you're crazy. But every song in this album, I think, is very strong. Like, this really isn't a weak song on the album. And the reason why I liked it so much is you okay over there?
Yeah, I'm just having some trouble over here with I don't even know. There's like allergies or something.
I'm trying to find Ghosts.
When they played on, was it Jimmy Kimmel?
It was Colbert.
Oh, it was Colbert.
This doesn't look like a group that we're playing on the Colbert. Oh, wait, wow, it is. Okay. That's weird.
You got Papa Emeritus.
Yeah, so just watch that video. It sounds like, to me, because like their previous albums, I could see what sound they were going for. Like they wanted to go for like the old school sound, but also...
Because like Opus Eponymous is one in a fucking amazing name. Two is okay, and then their second album, I forgot what it's called. I don't like it at all.
Yeah, but this album, it sounded like they kind of went more in metal direction, but not too much. Like, they still kept their sound, but they kind of blended the two in a way that I think works really well.
Yeah, I agree. I quite like that album. And I like the cover.
Are they doing a cover of a song on here?
No.
Sound like it.
Yeah, there's no covers on
it. What does it sound like? It almost sounds like Alice in Chains.
No.
No, is it? Who am I thinking? Is it Alice in Chains? Who am I thinking? Alice in Chains?
Come on now.
Hold on.
Oh, I think I smell something burning. Oh, is he going to get it?
No.
Is he going to get it? He's not going to get it.
It's not coming through. No, there's like a tinge of Alice in Chains in there.
I don't think so, but okay. Anyway, that is your number one.
Okay. And then also one more thing. I think the singer does a good job on this album. I didn't really like him before.
It's because it's a new one.
Yeah, well, yeah. The third singer was the right one.
For those of you who don't know, the joke is that he is Papa Emeritus the Third because after each of the previous two albums, they fired the singer and brought in a new pope, but it's just the same guy.
Yeah, and then they also have the players called the Nameless Ghouls, but no one actually really knows who they are.
And apparently, Dave Grohl was
one of the concerts they played. Dave Grohl played in the band.
Nice.
They also did ABBA covers.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of Phantom Limb. There's the song Phantom Limb by Alice in Chains. I hear a little bit somewhere the same vocal pitch in this song on Stephen Colbert.
I mean, vocal pitch, like maybe, but in terms of just songwriting, not.
No, I'm not talking about songwriting. I'm talking like there's a same harmonizing in there somewhere where it just kind of, I was like, oh, that song.
It triggers something in your brain.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, so anyway, that's what I was getting at.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so that's my list. I can finally stop talking now, and I can listen to one of you guys and why you're all wrong.
Are you ready over there, Ian?
Yeah. Okay. My list is not going to be as... I'm not going to give you as in-depth a diatribe of why I like the group or not, just because I know I've listened to it, but I will try my best. So we're starting with 10. Number 10. 100%. I'm actually trying to find information about the group. So
please insert that into the podcast.
That'd be great, wouldn't it? So Graveyard is my number 10 album of the year, or group. The album is Innocence and Decadence. I think is how it's.
Yep, that's a good album name.
And that was so I don't know. Remember if it was one of you guys that turned me onto it, or if I found that on my own.
It was probably me, because I have listened to that album and I was extolling its virtues to a few people I know.
Okay, yeah. So I found that, and I was that was definitely one I had on while I was at work, and people were giving me weird looks walking by my desk.
But it's not very heavy. It's like
it's not. But they're kind of like, what are you listening to? And I'm like, it's like psych blues kind of mixture. Like,
the apple on the tree totally just sounds like a Dire Straits song.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, and I've actually. Glad I found a new nice calming group to listen to out of my craziness. So number 9 is A Forest of Stars.
Okay,
is what it is. A Beware. Oh, you mean
A Gentleman's Club of Forest of Stars?
Yes,
that is the full name.
Oh, is that what the full name is?
Yeah, the full name of the band is The Gentleman's Club of Forest of Stars, something like that. Which is funny because it's actually not all guys. There is a woman in the group, so it's quite literally not a gentleman's club.
Well, I've actually never seen the picture of the band until now. That's
are you aware that most gentlemen clubs are not entirely gentlemen in there?
Well, yes. by the modern definition of a gentleman's club. But yes. The other part of their dumb gimmick is that they're from like the 1890s, I think.
Well, that checks out.
Yeah, that's it looks like it. Their imagery, I would say, yes, much so. But where are they from? They are... They're a
UK.
UK establishment?
Mm-hmm.
God, their website needs... That's a bad website. Okay, anyway. but great music. Really enjoyed them. I've listened to the whole thing, but like I said, I've listened to these, and I haven't listened to them recently to tell you much more about them than
it
that.
It is black metal.
Okay, all right. Then that makes sense why I like to listen to it at work.
It's sort of atmospheric.
Makes me happy. And that's... Yeah, and that's what I found recently is I'm not a big fan of. Well, that contradicts one of my. I'm going to say later, but I do like as we said earlier, music that is kind of zoning out. It lets you just kind of zone from one track to another.
There was a lot of stuff like that for me this year.
Yeah, and I found that is a good fix. Number 8 is kind of a weird one. It's a mainstream band. Most people know them. Disturbed, but it's...
I've never heard of them, please.
Hold on. But it's not the album. It's one song on their latest album, and it's a cover. And it's the only reason they're on this list here. It's the Sound of Silence cover that they did.
Did you see the music video for that?
No, I don't want to watch it.
The singer just kind of like creepily staring at you?
I don't want to watch it, but the song hit me. It was really good. So that's why I had to put it on my list.
That's a weird choice on the cover. I've not heard that cover.
It's, oh my God, just listen to it. It is phenomenally done. He does a great job with it.
Speaking of Disturbed covers real quick, I've had to explain to multiple people that their cover of Land of Confusion was not actually written by them.
Oh my God.
Come on, people don't know that that's a cover?
Yes. I've had to tell multiple people this, and I maybe want to strangle them.
I actually don't. Like, that's not a great cover, but I don't hate it.
Yeah. I don't hate it either, but still, like, that's a pretty iconic song.
Yes.
That's a sad
with a very iconic music video.
On a side note, or I guess to go off on a tangent a little bit, right now streaming on Netflix, if you have it, is the kind of the pseudo movie documentary of CBGBs.
Oh, okay.
And I definitely worth a watch, especially for, I think, which was Iggy Pop actually starring in there as Iggy Pop. At some point, which is actually pretty good.
Wait, so is it like a docudrama?
It's kind of like a docudrama. It's, you know, reenactments, the characters. It's who's the main guy who did Professor Snape?
Alan Rickman?
Alan Rickman, yeah.
He's the guy who's running CBGBs. So he does...
That sounds pretty good.
He's a very, like, stoner, kind of like whatever Devil May Care type, you know, laid-back guy. It's really, really good. So definitely worth a watch. This came to mind there. So number 7 is going to be, and I hope I get this right.
Oh, jeez.
Horizons. Oh, album, what? Album Odyssey.
What?
Horizons. Horizont. I think, is that correct?
What's the name of the album?
It's called Odyssey. H-O-R-I-S-O-N-T. Horisont. And the album is called...
Okay, okay, yes. I know this band.
Okay. So, don't know where I found them, but did find them. Really, really dug it. And I'm trying to remember why I dug it. So, give me just a second here. But I remember...
You're on your own with this one, because I didn't listen.
I know. This is kind of my off trail.
Come on now. Any second.
Hold on. Yeah. Okay, so the reason I kind of started liking them is the lead singer has a very can't think of his name, and
you're a comedy of errors.
I should be shooting myself right now.
I think you need more Blue Hawaiian.
I do need more drink here in a moment. Yes. My God, the guy had a TV show about him.
What?
MTV. Oh. The
Brett
father,
Michaels.
Father of death metal.
Oh,
black metal.
Oh, was Chuck Schuldiner?
No.
The guy who performed death?
No, God.
Moving on.
No. This is bad. This is bad for radio, but fuck it. I got to get this because it's the only reason I like this band is because he sounds like Black Sabbath lead singer. What the fuck? I can't think of his name.
Ozzy.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Okay. Yes, he has a very...
Founder of death metal.
Yes. I couldn't think of it.
How could you forget Ozzy of all
I don't people? Know. I don't know. It's
how
just...
much? Maybe you've had too much Blue Hawaiian.
I haven't had enough yet, but the guy has the same, sort of the same vocal range, same tone as Ozzy does. And so I kind of dug the album, started listening to it. So that's why I put that one up there.
What kind of genre is this? Or subgenre, rather.
Well, I guess if we look at the official Wikipedia, we could probably figure that out.
Or go to the Metal Archives, which is my go-to for any and all subgenre disputes.
Go to Encyclopedia Metallum.
Yes, I mean, that's what it is. That is the Metal Archives.
Is that the Metal? I don't know. Are they from Germany, I think? I don't know. Anyway, they're very,
move on.
All right. I'm moving. Here we go. All right. So number six is going to be Unleash the Archers.
I figured this album would be somewhere.
And that was pretty awesome.
I want to talk about them for a second.
Okay.
I had it described in the Linkin Forest Guild Wars 2 guild chat. We were discussing metal. And someone asked me if I had heard this album. And I said yes. And that their lead singer, she can really sing because she can. And I forgot who it was, but someone said something to the effect of he can't wait for her to get scooped up by another band, then the rest of the band can go back to working at like the laundromat or whatever wherever they work.
Oh.
Cause man, she's too good for this band.
Brittany Hayes is the lead singer of that.
She is like almost like a female incarnation of Dio in many ways.
Except for that, like Grim Reaper. They remind me of them.
Yeah, except for that music video of Tonight We Ride is not – don't watch the music video. Just listen to
the – is that the Mad Max
video? Yes.
That video is amazing because it's terrible.
Well, speaking of terrible music videos, I think we can get to that later for a top 10 terrible music videos.
Jeez.
We got a full top 10 for that?
No, that'd be awesome.
I would nominate the Tonight We Ride video.
Yeah. So, okay, so that was my six. Number five is Nightwish, Endless Forms, Most Beautiful.
Okay.
For me, it was not, like I said, like there was great album. It has some good writing in it, but I wish that I'm drawing blank on names here.
Hamas?
Yes.
Flora Jansen?
Yeah, Flora had a little bit more creative license in doing so. Hopefully the next album will be a little bit better. But we'll see. I'll see them live here soon.
Yes.
So I may change my entire opinion.
The Great Garden State.
Yeah. Number four is Cain's Offering.
It's also a good power metal album.
Yeah. So I see you turned me on to this one earlier in the year, and I have listened to it a total of 68 times
that's
in my
many
iTunes
times.
Library. And in particular, only one song on there, 68 or something.
You know, is it I Will Build You a Rome?
I Will Build You a Rome,
for
yes.
For me, my jam on that album is Antemortem, because that intro is the most over-the-top, intense intro to any song.
I will admit now, I haven't listened to much of the rest of the entire album except for that one song over and over again.
The song's pretty good, so I don't blame you.
So, and especially the music video, which I actually watched a lot on YouTube, even though it's not really a video.
A lyric video.
It's a lyrical video. So, you know, I guess that's a thing nowadays.
Mm-hmm. It's cheaper.
It is. Number two is Amorphis. Or did I skip three?
Might have skipped three.
I skipped three. Forgive me. So we know what number two is for me.
Yep.
Number three is Gloryhammer Space 1992 Rise of the Chaos Wizards.
Whoa. Oh, you just threw the two of us for a loop.
This is a shock.
This is the shock of the show right here.
Like I said, really want to know what your number one is.
So it wasn't my favorite Gloryhammer. They only have two albums, so it's not like I'm not like drawing on.
Doesn't quite live
up
to their.
I actually like it way more than the first album.
I liked the music video more and the storytelling more, but I liked the way the songs were.
You just liked yelling the Unicorn Invasion of Dundee.
Yeah, I mean it wasn't dumb. It was dumb enough, but there wasn't enough dumbness to be the dumb that I want.
Are you telling me Goblin King of the Darkstorm Galaxy is not dumb? And also the Hollywood Hoodsman talking about the God King of California.
I was listening to that album at work, and the whole time I was just trying not to giggle like uncontrollably.
Okay, so there is a song called Quest Lords of Inverness Ride to the Galactic Fortress.
So there's a, if you look at the mastering behind both albums, the first album, you could hear the singing more, I believe, than you could in this one.
Okay.
So, as
an aside, did you know that when the lead singer records those vocals, he wears the armor?
Does he? Oh my God.
Yes.
That's pretty awesome.
I feel like that would mess with the acoustics.
Well, something did, and I don't know if it was the mastering, but I couldn't make out the songs as clearly in this one. And so it kind of turned me off a little bit from listening to it. Maybe it was what I was listening to it on, but the first one seemed to be a lot better vocally.
I just look forward to, in our upcoming 13th Age game, you playing the evil sorcerer Zargothrax.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it'll be a good time.
I need to see how the conclusion of this grand story ends, because the last song ends on a cliffhanger.
It does.
It's like Angus McFife enters the galactic portal or whatever.
It was chasing after the evil sorcerer Zargothrax.
Oh, it's dumb. So anyway, so number two, yes, is Amorphis.
Hey, we have to take number two.
Yes, we did. So I won't go too much more into that. Number one, which I think I have told you guys about before, but I don't know if anyone here has ever listened to me or thought it was even relevant in their musical liking, is Visigoth.
Okay.
The Revenant King was a fantastic fucking album, and 100% every song on that album is key number one, A-OK, point blank on target, in my opinion. It has the same emotional writing as Gloryhammer in some cases, without being as dumb.
Just emotional.
Without being as dumb and lyrics, and it just, I don't know, the whole thing was, I mean, I would say not without being dumb, but however, I have to look this up here because
I remember watching video for the title track, and the video opens to just the band walking through the woods wearing armor and like robes. I mean, it's like, okay, so that's what this is.
I mean, so the first one, the song is really good, but it does get dumb because you have Dungeon Master where they talk about rolling the dice
and being
the Dungeon Master. And the second one is Mammoth Riders. So
in this music video, this dude's wearing a Legend of Zelda t-shirt.
They do have some dumb stuff, but I really like the lead singer's voice. I like his singing. I like his depth, his range. And the band does a great job of carrying him as well.
Wait, hold on one sec. Which album was this? Revenant King, you said?
Yeah.
Yes. It truly is the year of the Revenant.
Yeah, because I'm listening to one of the songs off of it.
Because there's the Revenant King's album. There's the Revenant in Guild Wars 2. There's that movie, The Revenant, which is coming out. There's something else, too, I feel, involving Revenant specifically. That's for another day.
I don't know.
It's for the
year. It came out in like January, so like right at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
So I guess it was a little downhill for this year.
It was a very early track.
Yeah, sorry, that's top and rolled downhill the rest of the way.
It did for me indeed. But anyway, so that's my top 10, even though it was a shit show thrown together. I do have some honorable mentions that I would like to throw out there. I'm going to go pretty quick and fast and loose with this. August Burns Red, Bonnie McKee. The Chervis
Churches,
the Chvrches.
Yeah, churches.
That's not church. There's no church in there. It's church.
It's how we're going on old English. There was no U. So
Chavashes.
Also, that means they are true cult.
I guess so.
Again,
The Dead Weathers, Dodge and Burn, Fall Out Boys, American Beauty, which had some good hooks to them, good songs. Leon Bridge, Coming Home, really good classic sounding album. Really dug that. Owl City Mobile. And one I want both of y'all to look up right now, because I want you to hear this, is Ruskaj. Ruskaja. Peace, love, and rock and roll.
How many umlauts is in that?
Go on. No mention of that Galnerius album that I sent you on Twitter the other day.
Oh, that's crazy, right. Japanese band. I had that. That was, I should have, but I did not have time to throw that into my mindset.
So when I downloaded that album and imported it into my FUBAR, everything, the artist name, the album name, the song names were all in all caps. And I was just like, you know what? Okay. Just kept it that way.
That's how it's translated into English.
But I felt it was fitting.
So, yes, I have the link here. And when you guys have a chance, you need to.
Well, now that we're 2/3 of the way through, that want to take a break so you can refresh your drink?
Yes, I would love to.
I should probably go grab a drink now.
That'd be great.
Let's go call.
If we're boozing it up.
Call a break. I'm still rocking that H2O. Here's a word.
A word from our sponsors.
Okay, we're back. We have one more list. One more amazing list.
The most important list.
The list that will blow your mind and make your mother have kids if she's 90 years old.
Probably not. If I had to wager.
Okay.
If I were a betting man.
It's an important list, I guess. Yes. Because it's an important person, I take it.
You sound so confident.
This guy might be kind of important.
So I'm going to do, I guess, honorable mentions first. Okay. Mix it up. I'm just going to go, these are in no particular order. Actually, that's not true. They are in a particular order. That particular order is alphabetical by artist.
Oh, God.
Just because I did the sort auto-sort thing in Google Sheets. Honorable mentions. The first honorable mention is Enslaved in Times, which is a really dumb name. I don't like that name at all.
Enslaved in Times, yeah.
It was like Enslaved is the band, and the album is In Times. But it's just like, do you know the times? So that's what I think.
You mean Morris Day in the motherfucking times?
No, I don't actually. He's dancing in his chair, and the chair is squeaking in an uncomfortable way.
All right. That was weird that they toured with Between the Buried and Me, because I don't really think of those two bands being that similar.
They are both progressive in their music.
If Enslaved to me feels more like,
I'll just more like
straight like death metal. Almost.
No, because there's. If you really want to classify Enslaved, you would be like sort of like a progressive Viking black metal.
Yeah.
A fuse all these things. But I like that album a lot. Next is Ghost Meliora. Someone here is number one album of the year.
So I was technically right that it was on a list.
No. It's just one I decided to, not knowing what anyone else was going to have on their list, was one I felt like should be mentioned at some point. So it's not really on a list.
Well, because you kept trying to, for folks at home, you kept trying to guess what my number one was.
You were just like, oh, my number one, I would be very surprised if it doesn't make your top 10, and it didn't.
Well, I backtracked on it a bit when you started mentioning ones that would make your list. So I was like, yeah, I don't know if this quite fits with the other ones.
Okay. I do have some ones on my list that neither of you guys mentioned at all.
Oh, okay.
And that actually doesn't surprise me.
Next, we have... Goryhammer, Space 1992, Rise of the Chaos Wizards. I wanted to call that album out because I do think musically it is much improved over Tales from the Kingdom of Fife. Also, it has a really dumb name and a really amazing cover.
I want.
You okay?
I'm going to die. Three can die in the podcast.
For space, you can't breathe.
I want bands to have like the new year. I hope that's a fad. Very long. Complex, almost like paragraph names or album names. I think that would be fun.
There is an album with a kind of lengthy name on my top 10. But next is moving to Jorn Landy and Trond Holter, their hot collabo, Dracula, Swing of Death.
Oh, yes. You remember you telling me about this.
That album is dumb in every way that I love dumb music.
I was reading that. I was reading that they performed that live at some festival or something, yes, and I wish there was video footage of it.
Yeah,
I almost tweeted out to Jorn when I think I did actually drunkenly tweet out to Jorn.
Does he have a Twitter?
About this? Yeah. Well,
I need to follow that.
As much as any maybe person who's famous has a Twitter, I guess.
Anyway, so. That album is a dumb rock opera about Dracula, not just like the character of Count Dracula, but like the original novel. And moving on, Nightwish, Endless Forms, the Most Beautiful. I like that album not as much as their previous handful, but I still like it. Next is Ouroboros. Emanations is the name of the album. They are I believe they're Australian tech death band. And if it's not your thing, it's not your thing. But I just want to call it there's something about the way this album was produced and the way it was mixed where the drums kick in a super intense way that I think sounds great.
I was listening to the first song of that album, and like I was waiting for the part where like guitar and the drum comes in, but like the whole intro is just like really ambient music.
Go on, what are you talking about?
Am I listening to that?
Think of something else, because that album starts with just intense drum right away.
I'd be thinking of something else then.
Probably. The first song on that album is a song called Scion. It's super intense. It's one of the more intense openers from anything that I listened to this year. Anyway, moving on. Next is Scale the Summit, which was mentioned earlier. And next, another instrumental album, mostly. The last track has some vocals I don't really like. Sunset in the 12th House. The album is called Mosaic. I was actually, we were talking about this album before our Game of the Year recording last week. Mm. I mentioned it to Duren, and he actually quite enjoyed it. It's sort of like post-rock, proggy, psychedelic instrumental nonsense that it's good reading music when I'm on the train.
Okay.
Then Symphony X Underworld, I also enjoyed. We saw them live and it was a good show. And then Terra Maze, Her Halo, which my favorite track on that album is the title track. I think the chorus on the title track is super catchy and very sing-alongable. So I suppose it is time we get into the list. Hashtag building the list. Number 10.
I haven't watched this yet. Sorry. Go ahead.
Number 10, The Diary from The Gentle Storm. I actually like the gentle version better. I think the music is more dynamic, which is evidenced by the fact that that album actually has a higher dynamic range than the Storm version. Mm-hmm. Because you're not sort of limited to, okay, we need to have these drums. We need to have this distorted guitar. You're sort of more free to do whatever you want within the structure of the music. Next, I have a band called Riverside. Their album, if you want the long album title, is Love, Fear, and the Time Machine, which is perhaps, if we're giving out random ass awards, goes to album title of the year. Their music used to be very heavy. They're a Polish band. Their music used to be very heavy, but this album is sort of very melancholy, slow prog rock. Some of it reminds me a bit of Pink Floyd. But not all of it. I enjoy it quite a bit.
He has a little Peter Gabriel.
Sure.
A little late Peter Gabriel.
Sure.
Feel to it. Okay. I'm digging that.
Next is, first of all, the theme for this year for music for me was space. Either actual outer space or sort of like things being spacey and atmospheric. And also something that perhaps Kevin Spacey would be a fan of.
I hear it is the final frontier.
It is. So with that being said, number 8 is a band that regular listeners to the podcast know, Thurbleton. He turned me on to this group. Public Service Broadcasting. The album is The Race for Space. They are an English indie band. I believe they're English. Someone will correct me on that. Where they play the music, and all of their vocals come from old sort of news broadcasts and public broadcasts. So this sort of chronicles the race for space using footage from news broadcasts, using recorded footage from like the NASA control room to sort of tell the story of the race for space. And it's very interesting and also kind of catchy. There's some cool funk beats on there, especially the track Gagarin, which is all about Yuri Gagarin.
Yeah, I'm watching that right now. That's very trippy music video.
Mm-hmm. The two astronauts dancing?
Yeah.
Yep. Moving on, number 7 is a Swedish melodic death metal band, Soilwork. Their album, The Ride Majestic.
Yeah, I remember Soilwork.
I have a side note about, I don't mean to interrupt you, a side note about soil work. So a lot of these albums on my list I actually was listening to during work, just because it's one of those jobs where I'm kind of just like sitting on the computer all day, just have it on in the background. So I was listening to this album, and the person who sits next to me, who claims to be a metal fan, she was giving me a little bit of a tude because I was listening to Soil Work. It's like, oh, you listen to Soil Work? What is this, like 1999 or whatever? Bleh.
No. And she's thinking of Soil.
Well, no, my immediate response is, this might piss some people off. My immediate response was, you like Korn and Tool. Your argument is invalid.
I mean, yes on Korn. I actually don't really like Tool either. So yes to both counts.
I know I just totally isolate or alienated all of our Tool listeners here, but I'm sorry. I don't like Tool.
I mean, there's something about Maynard. You can't just totally discount him.
It's funny because
I like the fact that he acknowledged that like most Tool fans are really annoying.
Oh, there are. If you're a Tool fan, you are a Tool fan. And that's I mean, because people who are Tool fans, I like Tool. I don't mind it. I'm not a protester or a preacher of Tool is the best ever because of their ability to use, whatever in their music. I can't think of the name of it is. But
I just don't understand her argument because it's not like I'm listening to like, I don't know, like In Flames Horacle, which is an album that actually came out in 99 that is of a similar genre. Like, this is an album that came out this year.
I mean, I don't know what her problem was with that, but I actually thought the album was pretty decent.
So I like both. There's weirdly like two title tracks almost. There's the opening track, which is just called The Ride Majestic. And then there is The Ride Majestic Aspire Angelic, which is, I believe, the seventh track. Both of those are very good. Father and Son Watching the World Go Down is a song I recommend to pretty much anyone that sort of likes hard rock, not necessarily metal or death metal.
So I think this may be the band that she was thinking you were talking about. Because when you said it, that was the first thing that came to my mind. Because
Ben, Soil?
Soil. They are from the 90s, and they are a 90s, you know, or early 2000s band.
No, because she's like the kind of person who would know who Soil Work is. And they technically like put out stuff in the 90s.
Okay, well,
it was like, one album in the late 90s?
Yeah, well, it doesn't really matter exactly, but anyway, move on.
Unnecessary beef is my point.
Yeah.
Well, seeing as the first three albums were very sort of prog rocky and then we moved into the metal, we're now moving back to the prog rock.
Okay.
With Stephen Wilson's Hand Cannot Erase. If you want to cry, this is the album for you.
I've been meaning to listen to that album, but like I couldn't find it anywhere, like streaming service. I didn't really feel like torrenting it or anything.
The opening track again reminds me a good bit of Pink Floyd, but if you listen to the track Routine and especially watch the music video, it's kind of hard to pick up. The album is, as far as I know, a concept album. It's sort of based on a true story where a woman died in her home and sort of no one knew for a few years, even though she had like friends and family. So as far as I can tell, this album is about someone who's sort of like following that story and like what they discover. But the song Routine is about a woman whose children and husband were killed in a shooting.
Wow.
And she sort of keeps her routine daily just to sort of keep herself sane.
The opening track, the guitar on this is outstanding. What I'm hearing so far.
Yeah, Stephen Wilson is a very good musician. He's also known as a very good producer. He's produced a lot of stuff for Opeth. He's actually been on a few Opeth songs. He's actually on Blackwater Park, a fair deal.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoy his stuff with Opeth. I also really like stuff Storm Corrosion.
Him and Knockerfelt.
Yeah, that stuff.
He's been around. He's a very good producer. So the album also sounds very good because he produced it himself.
Yeah.
For people, we can put in the show notes if you want. This is the YouTube for that album. And if you look down on the third thing, it gives the breakdown of where each song starts.
Okay. I might put the music video for Routine because it's like a cool sort of stop motion animated thing.
Okay.
Moving on to number five, an album that, all three of us had on here, I guess, is, Church's Every Open Eye. It's just good.
I was very surprised. I was.
Then they played at the Game Awards, and that performance was okay. And it was also the single, which is not one of my favorite songs off that album.
That song's decent.
It is. It's no Clearest Blue, though.
It's no I totally blanked on the song. It's no Barry.
Bury It, but I like Clear as Blue. And apparently the group sort of likes Clear as Blue, like that's sort of their favorite thing. Not that means much to anyone listening to it.
By the way, I'm watching the video for Routine. It totally looks like a Tim Burton movie.
Because it's sort of stop motion. It's that animation style. Moving on to number four. Something that none of you guys have on there, I've noticed. A band called Inshine, their album Singularity. This sort of goes with the space theme, especially if you look at the album cover. Arbitrary award for spaciest album cover is quite literally just like a galaxy spinning through space.
I like those kind of images.
It is sort of a bit death doom, a bit melodic death metal, very atmospheric. So it does fit that spacey theme. And I like it quite a bit. So moving on, number three, album that was mentioned earlier. Matridan, Cold and the Silence. It was introduced to me as for fans of Enslaved, and I agree. There is, especially on a handful of tracks, the second to last track, the name is escaping me at the moment, very much has that sort of Enslaved, sort of like rolling guitar. And I also like that cover is very spacey. It's just a dude looking like he is conducting the planets. Moving on to number two. Oddly enough, Amorphous, Under the Red Cloud. So we at least know the second best album of the year is.
We're all in agreement on one thing here.
Yes.
Yeah. That's I actually find it really funny with how different all of our tastes are that we all had that album like at that spot. Like not necessarily high up, but just at that spot.
Yeah.
And number one, Sweet Bullet, Elder War. I listened to this album more. I have the LP hanging on my wall here.
I think you told me when that album came out, like, this is probably going to be my favorite album of the year.
And it still is.
So that doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It really is. And then I kind of want to throw some other things. Let's just look at the list overall and see what other awards I can come up with. Biggest disappointment, Solution 45, Nightmares in the Waking State, Part 1.
Not off to a good start for that series.
No. Well, Solution 45 is a band where the singer, I forgot his name, he was the old singer in Scar Symmetry. And the dude can flat out sing, like harsh vocals, clean vocals, whatever. But the last album was kind of bad from Solution 45. And this album is kind of bad. So it's just like disappointment and like they have talent to work with. It's like the Detroit Lions of albums.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, jeez.
Where they have the talent to put it together and they come close and then they just rip your heart out. And you're left lying on your floor in disappointment, wondering where it all went wrong.
I do that constantly.
And then,
I have a most disappointing album.
Oh yeah, if we're doing most disappointing, go for it.
Yeah. I don't know if you have anything, Ian.
Let me look through my shit show of what I have here from the year.
All right. While you're doing that, I want to nominate an album, The Swords High Country, which might be a little controversial because. This album, it's almost kind of like what Opeth did with Heritage, where they kind of like we're not going to really be a metal band anymore, but we're going to kind of keep some of their musical stylings. And personally, I just thought this album, because I listened to some of the Sword stuff, and I liked a lot of it, but this album just, it's not the part where it's not really a metal album, it's just the fact that the album itself I just thought was kind of boring.
Like, it's never good when something's boring.
Okay. Yeah, like, I just didn't think it was that great of an album. Like, even if it did have more of a heavy metal sound to it, I don't think it would have been as good. And then I also have a runner-up, which I don't know if it's really disappointing, because my expectations weren't that high in the first place, but Slayer's Repentless. I thought it was going to be terrible, and when I listened to it, I was like, this is actually kind of okay. But the fact that it's a Slayer album, and Slayer is known for having, you know, they have a pretty high standard.
Like, they're Slayer.
The fact that it was kind of just okay is in itself disappointing. It is the good dinosaur of metal albums.
It was just okay?
Yeah. Wow. Like, that is the worst thing you could say about that.
And then if we're I'm just going to go rapid fire some other awards here. Album that I listened to the most that didn't actually make it that far on my list is Camelot's Haven.
God.
Album that I wish I gave more time to. The Camel, the Lion, the Child by He Whose Ox is Gored. Oh, just great naming all around.
That's a good name.
best Red album Proof. from last year that I didn't listen to till this year. Oh God, what is this thing actually called? It is the Scar Symmetry album. It is called The Singularity Phase One Neo Humanity. It is super over the top sci-fi melodic death metal with also some weird 80s like synth rock in there at times.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else can I give? Most ridiculous song title.
I want to hear you pronounce this.
I'm not going to. Actually, I will. There's a lot of accents. It's by Thy Catafalque or Thy Catafalque. I don't know. Okay, here we go. There's about 45 characters in here. Ol dodo formak ahalal tito xatos birol dalmbob. Yep, that's it. That's the one.
Nailed it.
Dumbob.
I'm gonna copy paste it in the chat so you guys can see.
I copy paste it and I'm gonna make my attempt at saying.
Go for it.
Okay. Oh fuck. Okay.
Ordudu formak hala tito kazuktu borio dalmaba.
Yep, that's it. That's the one.
How dare you talk to my mother that way?
Is your mother with that mouth?
And you what? Got some space junk? I can sell it. Hey, Annie, come over here.
Annie.
Sell some more stuff for me. You've not made enough money this week.
What does that actually translate to? Do you know?
I have no idea.
Google Translate, go.
Hey, why don't you guys punch it into Google Translate while I do one more award? Most ridiculous music video.
Oh, God.
Which is Earthside Mob Mentality featuring Lejon? The dude from Seven Dust, Witherspoon.
Okay, I got it.
The Moscow Studio Symphony Orchestra. There's like crazy ballet and Cirque du Soleil shit and an orchestra. It's insane.
You guys have to link that because we got to check that out.
Here's the translation of it. Subtle forms of the mysterious death, Bridal Maba. In the last part, just is the same thing as the...
Doesn't translate the last part.
I mean, it probably actually is a word. Google doesn't know what it is.
Yeah. So.
Subtle forms of the mysterious death. That sounds like a Winter Sun song.
So there you go.
Looking through his list, see if any other arbitrary words I can come up with.
Soluble forms. Maybe it's not subtle. Soluble.
Album that I thought Scooter Wilson to that he didn't. Vanden Plas, they're a power metal band. Chronicles of the Immortals Netherworld 2. It is the sequel to last year's Chronicles of the Immortals Netherworld 1.
Okay, who is this?
Vanden Plas? It's two words. It's V-A-N-D-E-N space P-L-A-S. Then it is Chronicles of the Immortals Netherworld, and then parts 1 and 2 are the two.
If we're gonna throw out random awards, I'm just gonna nominate best album that technically came out last year, but was released in America this year and had some bonus tracks.
Nope, doesn't count.
A lot this
doesn't
year.
Count.
Was baby metal.
Yeah, all of the songs on these two albums are Vision, so it's Vision 1 through 10, and Vision 11 through 19, as it says, because they put the number in
wow.
They sort of replaced like the first letter of the like spelled out version of the number with the number itself, except when they got to the teens, they just sort of kept the word teen after the number. So starting with 13, it's Vision 13 teen.
Like the 13th, this 13.
This is pretty good. I'm watching Godmaker.
Vision 3?
Yeah. Wow.
Most eclectic album. Completely random awards. Solifald's World Metal. Its opening track, World Music with Black Edges. It is basically avant-garde black metal that uses a lot of world music. And I think that's it.
It's a time. That's a time.
Most album. Those two. Swallow the Sun. Songs from the North.
God, that totally is the most album. Most
is a triple album. It is a triple album.
Wow.
One of them is a sort of...
Creepiest album cover?
Yeah, creepiest album. Most Stare Into Your Soul album cover. Yeah, there's three albums. One of them is sort of the normal Death Doom, which I quite like. There's a more acoustic album, which I quite like. And then there's a Funeral Doom album, which I don't like, but I don't like Funeral Doom. And people who do like Funeral Doom apparently like it, so... There you go.
On a side note, somehow I ended up on Nightwish's Ghost Love Score at the Wacken Open Air 2013 video.
Yep, that's a good video. So yeah, is that it? Is that anyone else got any ancillary awards? I don't think we want to. Oh. Are we going to do an overall top album? Because I think our lists were diverse enough to not really.
I think they were. I mean,
you want to do like a top five, maybe?
No, because
I had no arguments with, because this was a year where I didn't really listen to everything that you guys listened to, so I really couldn't make a valid argument. To
like last year, we sort of narrowed down to three because there were a bunch that we had all listened to.
Right.
This year, it was more diverse.
I will say that I was very disappointed by Hollywood Undead's Day of the Dead album that came out this year. Very, very sad.
I'm sorry.
Because they never were a good band, and that's just really good.
I was really hoping this would be the one.
I was really hoping. I was holding out, you know, but I've given up.
Probably a wise decision.
I paid for that album, so that makes it even doubly worse for me. Because this was before I had a music subscription, thanks to Apple Music. Now I have a subscription, and I can listen to everything I want to. When it comes out.
I actually gave Spotify a shot the other day because I was trying to find that Terra Maze album while at work, because I read about it while at work. And I was like, I want to listen to this now.
Yeah.
And I saw Spotify, like, they have the free week. And they also had 3 months premium for 99 cents.
Huh.
I might as well sign up for this.
Yeah.
And I would never, ever use it on my PC because I have, you know, my big-ass music folder.
Yeah.
Like, on the go.
It's not bad, right?
Like, yeah. The player itself was fine. The interface for, like, finding stuff is a complete mess, and I hate it.
Yeah.
That's what everybody says.
I use Spotify at work, and it works well enough for that case. Yeah. I'll say, since this year there wasn't a ton of stuff from bands I traditionally listen to, it kind of forced me to kind of expand my horizons a bit more and kind of find things that I wouldn't normally listen to. So I'm going to try to, next year, I want to try to be a little better about that, kind of listen to more things that I wouldn't normally listen to.
I'm sure you have to beat my one album a week average. I listened to 52 albums this year.
We'll see. It's actually, there's a lot of stuff next year I'm looking forward to.
What is coming out next year outside of new Amon Amarth, which is slated for early next year?
New Amon Amarth, new Gojira.
New Gojira. Yes.
I read this week they're tracking vocals, so hopefully it's not too far off.
Time Two, obviously.
Yeah, that would totally come out next year. This new Anthrax album, which the last album was really good, and the single so far was pretty good. And then there's some other stuff too. Actually, let's look at Wikipedia and see what that has to say.
Anyway, I think that'll probably wrap us, right?
Yeah, that wraps it up.
I just want to do a shout out to metalband.exe on Twitter, auto-generating metal bands every 3 hours. With the text is the key part of that.
Yeah, that's what was it? What? There's a website that has like shitty album cover names when they do it like all in that.
I mean, there's Metal Sucks, which has the unreadable album.
Yes,
unreadable band logo of the week.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Oh, next month actually is when the new Dream Theater album comes out.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
They said they're going to play it live, which I don't know how they're going to do that. Let's say bring
There's never been a bad Dream Theater album ever.
That's not true.
That last Dream Theater album was bad.
I tweeted out that this Terra Maze album is a better Dream Theater album than that last Dream Theater album, and the band's official Twitter liked that tweet. So,
starting some beef.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it's been a good year for music, not just metal.
This has been a metal year, but not metal year.
Metal year.
I forgot to mention next year, the Fourth Impact. You guys ready?
Oh, yes, I am ready for the Fourth Impact of Baby Metal.
You're going to come out to New York with us and see you?
Is this four new people? Is that what this
is?
No, it's the same band.
Is it the same? Okay.
I have no idea why it's the Fourth Impact.
No, but I thought they like replace their band members when they get too old because they start looking too old.
They probably will soon, but it hasn't happened yet.
All right. I don't know. This year, I'm going to be going to Jersey in February.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to be going to PAX in April.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to be going to Jersey
Montreal
in June. What are we going to Montreal for?
The Formula One Grand Prix de Canada.
Oh, that's right. We're going to go to Montreal in June.
You're joking, but I'm actually probably going to go to that.
I'll probably go to Montreal in June.
Oh, jeez.
And then you know what? I'm going to go on the metal cruise.
Isn't that in January?
I don't know.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Oh, is it? Okay. Well,
you probably have to go like not next year and the one after. It's probably
2017. We'll go on the metal cruise.
I want to go on a cruise. Saving up. That is, my goal is I want to go on a motherfucking cruise, and I want my first cruise. I want to go on a cruise.
Cruises kind of suck.
I just want to go on a cruise. I haven't been on a boat in such a long time. I miss being on a boat.
Come out to the Great Garden State. There are boats here.
Can we get a Viking vessel?
No.
That'd be awesome.
A pirate vessel, perhaps.
Guys, we should get a Viking vessel.
And we need to end the show.
We get a bunch of hot women with oars, and they can just oar while we watch them gleam with sweat, and we bang the drums.
We need to end this show.
Oh my God, it's gonna be great, guys.
See you next year for more metal.
It's gonna be so good.